The scripture reading this morning is Psalm 78. Psalm 78, the first nine verses. And the theme is pass it on. First listening and then telling. And you will see immediately how that comes right from this passage. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. So far the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this truth, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father, as we look at this beautiful portion of Your Holy Scripture, we pray, Lord, that we may take it to heart, that we may give heed and give ear to Your teaching and incline our ears to the words of Your mouth. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful. Guide us and lead us as parents, and especially today as we think of fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Christ, brothers and sisters, fellow travelers on the road that the Lord has laid before us, you all know what a relay race is. Generally, there's four runners in a relay race, and there's a baton that is passed. The first runner runs and then passes the baton to the second runner and runs and then the third and then the last one. And the first runner that comes to the end of the race with the baton is the winner, of course. Now, the most important point in that relay race is the point at which there's the transfer. The transfer of the baton from the one runner to the other runner. If that baton is dropped, they will lose precious moments, precious seconds on their time. So they got to be very careful to make a clean switch so that it is passed cleanly from one runner to the next. Now, what this psalm tells us is that we are in a relay race. We are in a relay race. And that parents have to pass that baton to the next generation. And then they to the next. And so on. And that's how the Lord wants us to be instructed. It is to go from parents to children, from children to their children, and so on. So we're all in a relay race. All of us are. And we're all responsible to pass that baton. And the baton is the truth of God. It's the truth that is revealed in His Word. And that's what we've got to pass on to the next generation. And of course, that means we've got to know it ourselves. The first thing is listening. That's what the psalmist says. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. That's our responsibility. We are to hear the Word of God. We as parents have a responsibility to be well posted, well informed, instructed in the truth of God. We have that responsibility. We just can't figure that the Word of God will come into us by osmosis. It just comes. No, it has to be sought. We have to seek it diligently. That's what the psalmist says here. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ear. That speaks of responsibility and effort. We have to give time to that. Each one of us does. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but we don't have time. We're so busy. We are so busy, morning to night. Our days are just so scheduled. We don't have time to chisel out a time for that kind of thing. Well, that's no excuse. All of us have 24 hours a day. Now we have to sleep, let's say, 8 to 10 hours. If you can sleep 8 to 10 hours, that leaves a number of hours for yourself. And you work, so that's another big chunk of time. But you've got to chisel out time to feed yourself. You cannot run on empty. You can't run on empty in your car. You can't run on empty in your own heart. We've got to be replenished every single day by the truth of God. We've got to have our tanks full. And that means going to church. That means hearing the Word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit, to hear the Word of God, to give it into our hearts, to take it into our hearts, that it doesn't just go in one ear and out the other, but that we listen. It's so beautiful to see those little kids come up here and to look at their eyes. They're focused. They're listening. That's how we have to be. No wonder Jesus said, he put a little child among them and said, this is how you have to be. We have to be like a child, listening, caring, paying attention. And so that's what the psalmist says in this psalm. This psalm, by the way, is a long psalm. I didn't certainly read even half of it. It is a psalm that really recounts the whole history of Israel. The idea is that the history of Israel is a revelation of how God has led them all through their history, and that they are to teach these things to their children. History is an important subject. The history of our country is a very important subject. All the schools in our country have to spend good time on teaching history. Do you know that one of the old philosophers said, if we will not learn from history, we will repeat it? That phrase, he that will not learn from history will repeat it, is found at the concentration camp of Dachau, just near Munich, Germany. That sign is in front of the crematorium. He that will not learn from history is bound to repeat it. We certainly don't want that Holocaust to be repeated. We've got to learn from history. That's the purpose of this particular psalm. We've got to learn from history. We've got to learn where our forefathers missed the boat. This psalm tells us that our forefathers, we should not be like them. A stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. That's a terrible indictment. May that never be said of us, that we're a rebellious people. And so we have to hear the Word of God, like it says right here, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. What we have heard and known, we are to pass on to our children. And you see those two words, heard and known, means not only that we heard it, but that we also embraced it, that it became internalized, that it became part of us, that we experienced it, that we heard about the Lord and that we received the Lord as our own Savior. And that is so important, that we know the Lord as our Savior, that we feed on His Word, that we live close to Him in prayer, that we seek to do His will and instruct our children in that as well. That's a tremendously important thing. We as parents are to have a close relationship with our children. There's not to be a generation gap. But parents and children are to have close fellowship. A very important time every day is at mealtime. When I was brought up, our mealtime, especially the breakfast and the supper, because at noon, everybody was at different places. We were at school or this or that. But it was morning and it was supper, and sometimes especially supper. And Dad would read, or Mom would read, or one of us would read the Scripture, and then there would be prayer. That was scheduled. It was absolutely, without exception, very important. When I was pastor in Southern California, our oldest son played football. He loved football. We had come from Holland, Michigan, and at that time, Holland Christian didn't have a football team. And so we came to Southern California. Ontario Christian High had a football team, and our son was really excited about playing football. So he played football. The practice sessions were after school, which was okay, but the practice sessions went until 6:45 at night. Well, that interfered with our supper. It interfered with our devotions. So what happened? Mom went to the football coach, and she said, "You know, devotions are terribly important in our family. It's very important for us to have prayer and Bible reading and eat together. And the evenings, or the supper, is one of the key times in the whole day that we do that. So if you could make that practice end at 6:15 instead of 7:15, it would give us time to do that." So the coach said, "You know, you've got a good point. I agree with that. And I think we'll do that." So that's what he did. The coach rescheduled the evening or the afternoon practice so that at 6:15, practice was over and they could go home. We just felt that was so important, and I was so happy that Lori did that. Prayer and Bible reading is a high priority. It's not something that is cum si, cum sa. You can do it if you want. If you got time, and you never have time, you got to set time. And so we have responsibilities. We as parents have to make sure that we provide opportunity for our children to know the Lord. Another very important time is bedtime. Bedtime. Especially when the children are little. To instruct them at bedtime concerning the Lord. And there's wonderful helps here. There's Bible story, but Catherine Voss's story Bible. Dina Korfger has a beautiful Leading Little Ones to God. Marion Skolin wrote Leading Little Ones to God. She's the one. Marianne Radius wrote Tent of God and God with Us. Those are books that are so helpful. Lori wrote a book entitled God's Unfolding Promise from Shadows to Sunlight, Tracing the Messianic Promise from Scripture, from Genesis through Revelation. And it's intended for elementary age children. These are really good resources to study, to read, and to pray with your children before they go to bed at night. And then when they get a little older, then they do it themselves. Encourage them to read the Scripture. Encourage them to read a good devotional book. Encourage them to pray. These are such important things. And so we have that responsibility to teach our children the fear of the Lord. Children have the responsibility to listen. And the listening of our children, they have to listen. Certainly listening to what we say, but we've also got to back that up with a life. You probably heard this poem before. I'd rather see a lesson than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. And the best of all the teachers are the ones who live their creeds. For to see the good in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. That's a great truth. Our life has to be lived that way. And you know this poem too. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day, and as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past. That bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it still it bore, and I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. That early imprint still he bore, and I could change that form no more. That's very true. Very true. And so we have that responsibility. What you have heard and seen, declare unto your children. Now he mentions three things in this passage that we are especially responsible to pass on. That the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. That they, number one, may set their hope in God. Number two, and not forget the works of God. And three, but keep His commandments. Those three things. Set their hope in God. Not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. You see, the children of Israel had a great history. And they had to remember what God had done. Creation, the flood, and the covenant. The creation is such a all-encompassing truth that everything that we know, everything that we see, had its origin in God. God is the master creator of the entire universe. And we've got to see that our children are creatures of God. He made them. Their bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, as are ours. Creation is a fundamental truth that forms our worldview. God is the creator and the sustainer of everything, and that has to be seen in our lives. And we can instruct our children about that. When you're on vacation, you can take pictures of beautiful scenery and always point to the fact this is God's world. This is what He made. A beautiful sunset. A rainbow. The clouds. The mountains. The ocean. The sea. All these things reflect His glory. And we've got to make our children see that and point that to them so that they begin to look at it that way too. And then there was the flood. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. There's consequences for bad action. There's the requirement of discipline. The flood was discipline. And we have to discipline our children too. Discipline at the present time is not pleasant. It's not pleasant to discipline. And children may not quite understand that. They may think that the folks, the mom and dad, really enjoy disciplining. No, 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 that's not true. It's not something we enjoy. It's something that we have to do. And I've gotten spanks too. And I never felt that it hurt my folks, but now that I'm a parent, I know it hurts them too. But we must discipline our children. The book of Proverbs is God's counseling manual, and it gives us very practical advice and teaching concerning how to raise our children. And it says, "He that spares the rod spoils the child." A child who is not disciplined is going to grow up to be an undisciplined adult. And maybe the army will have to teach him discipline, or a boss will have to teach him discipline. Something he should have learned at home, should have learned it from his father and mother, that they would have rules. Have rules. I remember one of our boys saying to us, when we went out on a date or other activities with boys or girls, we knew that mom would be up waiting for us no matter what time we got home. We had a curfew that they had to be home at a certain point and certain hour, and we knew mom or dad would be up and that they would ask us, "Where'd you go? Who were you with? What'd you do?" They just knew that those questions would come. And that, they said to us, that kept us on the straight and narrow path. That kept us from doing bad things because we knew mom and dad were there at home are going to question us, "What were you up to? What did you do? Where did you go? Who were you with?" So we as parents have a responsibility there. And we as fathers are to lead that responsibility. And we can't do it, I'm telling you, we can't do it without our wives, that's for sure. So, we've got a responsibility. And discipline. The flood was a discipline action of God. I mean, it was really a discipline action. But that's the way it is. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. And then we have the covenant. That's another great work of God. His love, His promises, His care for us. And what is so beautiful about God's dealing with the children of God in the Old Testament is that even though they had departed and they had fallen away, nevertheless God loved them. He loved them in spite of their behavior. And He called them to change. And He sent His Son to cleanse them from their sin and to give them a new heart. God is love. God is love. He is also just and He is holy and He punishes sin. But God is our covenant-keeping God who cares for us no matter what we go through. That's a wonderful comfort. Those are three mighty works of God, and not only does the psalmist say that, he says, and keep His commandments. The commandments, there's a reason why the Ten Commandments are read every Sunday. We're reminded of them every Sunday again, of what God requires of us. That we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart. That God is to be first in our lives. And that we are to fight against all sin, and we are to keep His commandments. This is a responsibility that we have. All of us have that responsibility. So on this Father's Day, it's important to look at all that. And I'm reminded of a beautiful song that Steve Green made very famous. It goes like this: "We're pilgrims on the journey of a narrow road. And those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testimony to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. And everyone said, Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, work in our hearts with thy Holy Spirit. Help us to be godly parents. Help us to be God-fearing children. Oh, Lord in heaven, the home is so fundamental and so crucial to your kingdom, to your church, to the nation. And so, Lord, we pray for our homes and our families that they may be faithful to you. Oh, Lord in heaven, we need your grace. We need your help. We need your Spirit. And so help us and guide us and lead us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.